Hello and welcome to this week's Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be finding out about Purple Velvet, a business started up by Diane Nesbitt during COVID from her home in Glenmaquin just outside Letterkenny, where she began by making cupcakes. Now she employs 11 people and has gone from strength to strength. It's quite a success story. But first, I just want to tell you about an event coming up that will be of interest to many. Do you know that over 17 million euro has been lost by Irish small and medium enterprises in the past 2 years through email-related scams? And online card payments accounted for some 37.4 million euro of card fraud last year. The threat of fraud touches us all. So if you've ever thought that won't happen to us, well, the event being hosted by Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce on Thursday, October the 9th in the Century Complex in Letterkenny could be just for you. It gets underway at 8:30 in the morning and it runs to 10 o'clock. By the way, there will be tea, coffee and pastries on arrival. And after that, there'll be 60 minutes on what the latest scams are, how they happen and how to prevent them. The event is complimentary for Chamber members, but open to everyone to attend. So this is an opportunity to stay ahead of the fraudsters with practical tips and the latest insights from Audrey Doherty and John Heron from AIB, as well as a representative from the fraud section of the Gardaí. Now, my guest this week, as mentioned, is Diane Nesbitt, founder of Purple Velvet, a bespoke bakery which makes a range of scrumptious cakes and bakes and treats made with passion. A graduate of the University of Liverpool, she worked in the fashion industry before COVID, when things all changed on the career front. Well, I paid a visit to her recently at her home in Glenmaquin, just outside Letterkenny, to find out more. Diane, great to be out with you here where it all happens in Glenmaquin. Maybe just first of all, you can give me a brief outline of Purple Velvet and what exactly you do.
Thank you very much, Chris, and an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Purple Velvet is established since June 2020. I guess we could be referred to as a happy COVID story. We are a bespoke bakery that makes treats and cakes for your liking. Most of the people now in and around Letterkenny will associate us with our coffee truck in Ballyrean. So that's where you can grab a coffee and a treat on the go rather than having to order a full-on cake for celebrations. But yeah, I guess we're quite lucky that we're in the centre of a lot of tables where people are celebrating their family events in Donegal.
Now, it all stemmed from back in COVID times. Prior to that, what were you doing? Do you have a background in this sector at all?
If you had said to me even 6 years ago that I would have a bakery, I would have thought, no, definitely that's not going to happen. My background is, what I done my degree in was home economics, including environmental health. Back then, my ambition was to teach home economics. During my degree, I realised fairly quickly the food science side of stuff and the psychology of food I had more of an interest in. And I would have done a lot of my work-based learning with the environmental health here in Donegal. I did, after I graduated, I was in like a 26-seater restaurant again. I just thought I want to have that management experience in that field. And from there, I actually ended up going to work for a multinational clothing brand. So as much as you may think with the bacon and that they couldn't be further apart, there actually was a lot of creativity involved with that. So I'd done that for 15 years. So up until COVID, whenever we all thought we were going to be off work for a few weeks, I was still doing that. And at that point, I was sort of covering all of Ireland. It was an absolute amazing job. I loved it. I loved my time there, but maybe just didn't lend itself so well to being a mum. At that stage, I had like a 10-year-old. So it definitely didn't, because I was away quite a bit and lots of trips to the UK and so on and so forth. So yeah, we hit COVID, and We had a great first couple of months. I had lots of time at home with my daughter, which I enjoyed greatly. My husband, unfortunately, was still out and about working. And then whenever we got into it, but I thought, right, we need to do something a wee bit constructive. I've always baked from a very young age. I would, I suppose, refer to myself as a foodie. But again, it's the psychology of the baking, why something makes us feel a certain way whenever we have it. So we thought, right, we'll do maybe 10 boxes of cupcakes a week, and it'll be a great part-time job for my daughter by the time she came of age, and I'll be back in my job, travelling the roads. And here we are 5 years later.
So if we go back to your childhood, baking was something that you would have been pretty familiar with growing up?
Very much so. I had two grandmothers that both, I suppose, came from farmhouses. So it was very much, I guess that's where my love of the real products come from. It was real butter. It was milk. And there'll be some people here listening to me absolutely turning their stomach. But if you actually remember back to those days where you were waiting on the milk to cool and you were peeling that skin back off, this is before pasteurization and everything. And again, it was like scone breads and homemade jams and jellies. And again, those apples would have came from my grandmother's orchard. Everything was very, very homegrown. You went out and you gathered the eggs to come to bake. And those are probably my fondest memories. I mean, I haven't had either of my grandmothers from a much younger age, even than what my daughter is now. But she'll still say to me, will you make scrambled eggs like Granny scrambled eggs, Granny Leckie scrambled eggs? And she never got to meet her, but that still carried through. So I think that passion, and again, they were both ladies were very, very patient. I think sometimes now, even, you know, baking with my own daughter when she was younger. So they very much gave me the love of baking and that patience. And it was very, very happy memories always being in the kitchen.
So COVID, you've done your cupcakes, you're testing the market. You got a good response, obviously. How long did it take for you to think, well, do you know what, this could be a full-time enterprise?
It probably happened very, very quickly. Like, I remember even that first Father's Day, which was probably the first event that we'd done. I remember that we're in lockdown and people can only travel a certain distance. I was absolutely blown away, and I just thought, people are bored at home and they've got excited about this new bakery, you know, and this is going to fade away. And through everything, and even to date now, I had a vision of how I wanted things to be. Like I say, the 10 boxes of cupcakes a week. But we have always been very reactive to what the customer wants. And that's where the growth came. And I think really, like a few months into it, I remember, you know, like in the early days, my friends would have helped me come and wash dishes or wait out things or whatever. And I was going, this is just madness. Like, this can't carry on. And like, my husband would have been saying to me, you need to stop this. You know, you're working too hard or whatever. And I'm like, no, I need to see where this is going, you know. And I was loving it. And the response to the product, because again, you know, sometimes we eat something or we have something and we love it and we don't necessarily know why. And that's what really excites me. Like, there's a few different things that I do throughout all of my bakes that people will eat it and they're like, oh my goodness, that's amazing, it's beautiful. And they don't necessarily know why, but I know why. So that entertains me, I guess. So no, fairly quickly, I knew, look, I'm onto something here. But then the other side of that too, as things started opening up, I thought, oh, may calm down again. And then we've had, obviously, throughout the 5 years, it's probably the highest amount of price hikes that we've ever seen within raw ingredients and stuff as well. So we've, again, had to be reactive to all of those things.
So things are going well, but obviously you're going to have to invest in the business. There's going to be capital expenditure if you're going to scale up on things as well. So did you just do it yourself, or did you go and get help from the likes of the local enterprise office? What was the sort of the next step?
Well, I think really for us financially, I suppose what I haven't mentioned but actually played into my favour, and at the time I didn't feel that it did, was I got made redundant from work. We had a mass exit from Ireland with the retail company that I was working for. So that, I guess, gave me a wee bit of a comfort blanket so far as with time and things of what to do. But no, the company, Purple Velvet, was completely self-sufficient. So far as in building itself, I didn't invest any money. I had just been made redundant. As much as I had a bit of redundancy, I had no money to invest myself. So yeah, we completely, it was literally in the early days, it was saving, it was begging to save for another piece of equipment and another piece of equipment and things like that. And people would often talk about measuring success. I don't think I've ever measured my success with money. It was getting that other piece of equipment and having things, I suppose, that I would have looked at, like, say, maybe some of the large mixers and different things that I would have thought, oh my goodness, I would absolutely love. Imagine having that. Imagine having, owning that. So that's maybe where I measured success. And again, being able to bring staff into the business. But now with the local enterprise office, there was an awful lot of support there. Look, there is some financial supports if you fall within certain, if you meet a certain criteria and so on and so forth. But there's a lot of that, it may not be physical money, but there's an absolute wealth of help that is available from them.
And there was plenty of support as well through mentoring.
The mentoring, again, absolutely fantastic. There's nothing that you could need advice on that isn't available through the local enterprise office. I've had financial mentoring, I've had business planning mentoring, I've had mentoring to help with, say, some of the software packages, like we use something called Xero for accountancy and stuff like that. I've had mentoring with that, which again, it introduces you to different people in different sectors. I actually, the people who done the mentoring for my Xero, that is now my accountancy company. So there's so much there. There's Digital for Business, which helps growth on the digitalization of the business and stuff. We have launched our own app for Purple Velvet that you can go on and order in advance, like different treat boxes. So I was able to get help with that through the local enterprise office. So there's so much there. And again, I suppose something that's very important from a female point of view is they have different programs running. Like I done the Ambition program, which is a female founder program to help you start in a business, or if you have a new idea that you want to take forward, that helps you through the steps with that.
Yes, and that program, I suppose it's a great example also of how the whole networking comes in, because you're meeting people and next moment they become a client and you're exchanging information, and it's a case of a win-win, I suppose.
Very much so. And I think for me, networking, first and foremost, not that networking was a new term, but networking through business and networking through different female entrepreneurs was something that was very new to me. And I'm very much a head down, get the work done kind of person. And I would have been the first person to say, I don't have time to be running to do that, or to meet with those people. Or that is the one thing that you cannot invest enough time in, is actually networking. It's amazing, and you will learn so much. It doesn't matter where you go, you'll always come away with nuggets that you're going, I actually didn't think on that way. And again, as much as it's great to hear about people's successes, success never comes without failure. You know, and even for us talking, yes, we have this lovely successful story and it has been a world one, but there's been lots of different things that I have tried and tested within those 5 years that didn't work. So I always think I like to learn from people's failures as well as their successes. And we're very lucky in Donegal because, you know, we have the Donegal Women in Business. There's different things out there, you know, and even throughout with the local enterprise office as well too. They now, it's on the 16th of October, they are running their Women's Enterprise Day. And that's done here locally in the town as well too. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. If you're in business or you're thinking about going into business, it's absolutely fantastic.
And I know, talking to people, you could be in a situation, you're meeting lots of people who could be in a similar sector to yourself. They might be direct competition, but at the same time, you're learning off each other.
There's no such thing as competition. And, you know, and I am very adamant of that, you know, and I would have found myself, you know, people would have come to me and said, Diane, such and such a person is doing this cake. They've done a cake like you done 2 months ago. They've done this, or, you know, oh, so-and-so's opening this, or they're doing whatever. There is enough business to go around. And I always said, and, you know, it's advice that I would have given to my friends within business too, I'm so focused on my own game. I'm so busy looking at the ball that's at my foot that I don't necessarily see what's happening around me. If you are the best that you can be and are doing the best that you can do within your sector, you can't do more than that. Everyone else is only an inspiration.
Now, the name Purple Velvet, the background to that, how did that come about?
Well, Chris, you've got to come here today. So I think when you walked in the door, you probably partially answered that yourself. I am absolutely obsessed with purple. It just, everything about the colour purple makes me happy. My kitchen is purple with a white worktop, always has been. There's meant to be a calm and happy aura around purple. If you're into sort of that side of things, I just find it like it's rich, it's regal, it's common. And then for me, there was a few different names, and I sat with my friend actually, and we talked a few different, and it was going to be the Purple Cupcake at a point. It was going to be the Purple Cupcake Kitchen. And she actually said, what if you don't just stay with cupcakes? And I'm like, no, I'm staying with cupcakes. I'm not doing nothing else. And I'm so glad that I listened to her. So when I sat down and thought about it, I always think, you know, something that conjures more in your mind. So when you say purple velvet to someone, subconsciously you're talking about a color. Mm. So you see the color, and when you say velvet, it's a texture and you feel it. So who doesn't like velvet? So I thought, yeah, purple velvet, then that's literally as as much thought as went into it.
The cupcakes were the first product. Now, diversification, what was the second or third product, and did you give it a lot of thought?
Do you know what? I'd love to have a great answer for you. I gave it no thought at all whatsoever. The cupcakes, and it was actually my Leaving Cert recipe of my own. That's how old the recipe is. And then from that, I moved to, well, obviously I had always done cakes because I had done that for family and friends if and when I had time. The next product was cookies. And then one of our signature products is a yummy. So it's basically, it is our cookie split with our signature buttercream inside it. And that is probably on an individual basis at like the coffee truck. It's one of our best selling products and everyone goes mad for it. And they get called all sorts of things. Yummy, yum yums, whoopie pies, yummies, everything. And I'm very precious over that. I'm like, they're called yummies. And they were named yummies actually by making a joke with a friend about what these were called. But that was born because my daughter and my husband would continually come into the bakery and going, oh, can you put a wee bit of cream on that for me? Can you? So they were stopping me all the time and I was putting a bit of cream on top of a cookie for them. And I was like, do you know what? I actually could, this might actually work. And as I say, they've gone crazy. And then they took on their own entity at Christmas where we do a red velvet version. And yeah, so that was the next thing. And from there, it just built onto things that I liked and things that I knew people would like.
As the business began to grow, you didn't actually have to go out and look for business by going to shops and by bringing examples of your product. It was just growing, I suppose, organically.
Very much organically. It was, and I always say that, you know, we're very lucky, but anyone that has ever heard me talk or anyone that knows me, is something that I always say, especially when I'm talking within business, is you can have the best product or service in the world, but people buy people. And I think that's something for us that has been very evident. If you treat people right, good things naturally happen around you. So whether that is your staff, whether it is your customer, no matter what it is, and right down to whenever we are choosing the ingredients, the customer is at the forefront of the mind of our mind all the time. And it's something that we really had to look at whenever there was an increase in prices. Like, for example, 10 kilos of chocolate, when we started out in the business, we use the best Belgian chocolate that we can physically source and get our hands on. So 10 kilos back then was costing us €84. today it costs us €189 for 10 kilos. So at that point, I had a choice to make. I'm like, do we go for a lesser grade chocolate and, you know, try and retain the price for the customer? And in the end up, I played around or whatever, but that was, there wasn't, the customer then was getting shortchanged because they've got used to a level as well and a level of the standard of ingredient. So the other side of it is I couldn't pass that cost on to that extent. So you're sitting there going, right, okay, we're having to run a business, we're having to pay the bills, but what do we do? So we met it in the middle. So we didn't pass the full cost. So we took a hit as a business on that. But then what we'd done by doing that, we naturally, organically grew the business and increased the sales. So that absorbed that shortfall. So that was the right thing to do by the customer. And it paid off.
And in those early days, it was all person to person. Now, online and an app, tell us how that all began and where we're at now. Is it a significant proportion of your business?
It is. It is a very significant proportion of the business. And actually, the app, that was something that I thought about doing just before our first birthday, a couple of months before our first birthday. And I remember the cost at the time. It was maybe about €1,500 or something. Bearing in mind, we're in the first year and every penny that we earn is being reinvested back into the business. And I thought, is people actually going to order buns online? And I kept thinking about it. And again, I thought on the customer and I thought on taking me, for example, as a young mum, or taking me when I was on the road working and looking at different stages of my life. For me to actually take that time out to ring up a business to try and explain that I wanted, or actually to go in through the doors to go and see what they had in their product range or whatever, made me go and buy someone an online voucher when I was gifting them or whatever. So I thought, right, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna do it. Look, if I lose the money on it, I lose the money. And I went ahead. I found an absolute wonderful lady to work with. And she really listened to what I wanted, because the thing for me, it had to be as easy. And I'll always say that to my customers: if you can use Facebook, if you can use WhatsApp, if you can do anything on your phone, you'll be able to use this app. That it's completely seamless. So I think, like, I obviously went ahead with the app. We launched it for the first birthday. The app had paid for itself in 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, the content for the app, what about pictures and videos? Did you get advice on that, or was it a case of just a little bit of experimentation?
Probably, again, experimentation. Now, the first hit of pictures that we had actually taken, Rosie Picks, I'm sure a lot of the listeners will know who Rosie Picks is. She does a lot of pictures, like family pictures, and does a lot of events and things like that. Rosie's a childhood friend. She's also here from Glenmaquin. And again, she's just a good person that treats people right. So I went to her and I was like, look, Rosie, I have this to do, and da 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 da. And me and her went, and we had an absolute hoot. We had a blast. We just took pictures of the product that we had. We went to Milton, to my dad's home place, and the things, I went back to some of the things that first inspired me to bake and stuff, and we used those backgrounds and things, and that was the first pictures. Since that, we just do it on the go as and when, and we update it that way. And again, we are so lucky. We have such a repeat customer that the majority of my customers now will ring me and they'll be like, Diane, I've got Chris's birthday. You know, he loves Man United, or he loves golfing or whatever. You do your thing. I want you to do it. So to have that trust is absolutely amazing. And you know, you have people coming back. I have now, we call them like purple velvet babies, because we done maybe their baby shower, we done their christening, we've done first, second, third, fourth birthday. And you know, I have families now that they put that kid on the phone to me and they're like, you tell it. I get called the purple lady, I get called the cupcake lady, like there's all different things, and they tell me, and I just love listening to them, because they've got this picture in their wee head, and actually like bringing that to life for them in a cake is just, and then I've got teens that their parents will ring and say, look, all she wants for her birthday or all he wants for his birthday is a purple velvet cake or a purple velvet brownie stack. That's my measure of success. That's how I measure my success.
The decision to employ somebody else, there's only so far and only so much you can do yourself. That next step, a big step, did it take a lot of thinking about? No doubt you had to do a lot of figures.
That was very, very difficult. And even Like, we're at the point now that we have 11 employees, which is absolutely unbelievable. It's amazing. And each time that I still take on, because again, that person is at the forefront of my mind. And I'm like, well, what if it's not busy enough? What if I don't have employment for them? And you do get to a point that you do sort of need to let that go. And like, it's one of the stories that I love of Purple Velvet. My first employee was a girl who I had never met before, who started coming as a customer. And I, every week or every other week, she was ordering something else, but I loved her. I loved everything about her. She was just, this is the thing that's very important. It's sometimes we'll find ourselves where you're in need of staff or you're whatever, and you'll take what comes. It has to fit. It has to marry well together. So anyone that I have brought in, and look, sometimes I have got it wrong, but they have to fit the brand. Like, because Purple Velvet is way more than just a bit. It is a brand. So I need them to have that same sort of care for the customer and care for the product and care for the brand that I have. So Adele, who is now with me 4 years this month, Adele was a customer. And I remember saying to my husband, I love her. I need her for something. And he's like, Dan, you do. And I'm like, I need her for something. I need her, and I need her in the business. So Adele started off answering messages for me 6 hours a week. And there was one day it was chaotic. And I was like, Adele, you're going to have to help me make cookies. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I need you. Come on. We're going to do this. And Adele works between 25 and 30 hours a week for me now, and is an integral part of the team. As each of them that works for me are an integral part of the team. But that's the thing. It's having the right person is more important than having extra staff.
So little did you know when you started off that first batch of the cupcakes, that roll forward a few years, 11 people being employed, you know, it's a phenomenal success.
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, I have to pinch myself sometimes, you know, and I'm like, whoa, like this is, and you know what, it can be hard, because anything that you do, and especially when you start a business, you're very much sort of in the public eye, and people will always have opinions on what you do and what you don't do and what you should be doing. And you just need to not listen to the noise. And like, there is lots of people out there. Like, I have to say, I have some wonderful friends that are my biggest cheerleaders, you know. And there is things out there, and I know, I suppose I talk a lot about the local enterprise office, but and like Donegal Women in Business, they are cheering you from the sidelines. Like, there is actually way more people out there that want to see you do well than wants to see you fail. And you know, we can let our pride get in the way sometimes and not ask for help or not ask for opinions. Do you know what? Ask for opinions. Ask people's opinions. You don't have to take them, but you very much will make up your own mind.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. My guest this week is Diane Nesbitt of Purple Velvet, and I've been out at her home in Glenmaquin between Convoy and Letterkenny, which is also the epicentre of the business and where her bakery is. As we continued our discussion, I then asked her about her small Purple Velvet coffee truck in the Ballyrain area of Letterkenny, which I'm sure quite a number of our listeners are familiar with. I asked her about the decision to open a street-side coffee outlet, which also offers plenty of her goodies.
Yes, and again, Chris, I never actually wanted a coffee van. It wasn't, and at the time, there was a smaller coffee van there that we had been supplying back and forward and stuff, and he was moving on to another stage of his life and was selling the coffee van. I don't know, some of your listeners may remember it. I always refer to it. It was like a cornflakes box on wheels. It was tiny. And I remember at the time saying to one of my other friends, you know, you should do that or whatever. And this went on for a few days, and someone said to me, would you not do it? And I'm like, no, I have enough to be doing. Definitely not. But again, too, when I talk about, you know, listening to the customer, this was at a stage where you have to remember during COVID, people didn't have access to lots of things. People had a bit more disposable income than they may have had when they were out working and so on and so forth. People didn't have ways and means of celebrating their birthdays. So for us, that's where COVID became such a good platform for being able to get out there, because it didn't matter if your birthday was on a Monday or on a Wednesday, you got a full-on purple velvet cake. And then a cake is not eaten by one or two people. You know what I mean? It's within everyone within the family unit. So that has that ripple effect of... So I was aware that, you know, and again, with the cost of living, people maybe didn't have that money to drop on that full-on cake. And that's absolutely okay. You know, and then people might have been like, oh, no, you know, we're not doing cake because we're going for dinner. And so I had to... I was actually thinking, it wasn't really for the love of coffee. I'm a massive coffee head myself. But it was more the treats, and it was being able that treat was still accessible to you, that you didn't have to come and drop like between 40 and 80 euro on something that was large, that you were able to just get that instantaneous fix. And there's no better marriage than a good coffee with that. So that's sort of what drove that. But I knew in the first weekend, I guess we were very lucky because the brand was established at that stage. People were familiar with the coffee being out there. So that first weekend, it just completely blew up. And I remember saying to my husband that week, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Obviously, you put in considerable hours. What's the driving force behind it all? Because this takes a lot of commitment and drive.
I think you summed up my whole life there. And then that question, it definitely does. And, you know, it's like anything, the anticipation is always worse than the event. And if I had sat down with a crystal ball and looked what life was going to look like or how hard I was going to work, I probably wouldn't have done it. But you're right when you talk about a driver, you have to have, and I think that's what's very important in anything in life, you need to have a because there. And that's different for everyone. For me, it's my daughter. We have only been blessed with one child, and obviously that's my driver. And it's not that, obviously we have to pay the bills and we have to have a roof over our heads, and I don't mean that she's my driver in that sense. Children are always watching, and I suppose it goes beyond my own daughter. It goes to, you know, my friends' children and my nieces and nephews and things like that. People are always watching, and it's almost to teach her how to treat people in life, and how, you know, when you put in the work, good things happen. When you treat people well, good things happen. And I suppose it's the work etiquette, and also just that kindness. And it's hard work, and everyone that works for me works extremely hard, but it is so rewarding. It's so rewarding, because you're treating people every single day. You're getting to treat someone that comes to the coffee van, they're rewarding themselves. You know, if we're doing a full-on spread for a party or a wedding or whatever, again, that's people coming together to actually celebrate something and celebrate time together. And if you think on any party that you ever attend or a wedding or anything, what's the one point that everybody stops? And it's all about that couple, or it's all about the birthday boy or girl. It's when that cake comes out. So to me, like, that's so, so special. So yeah, my driver for me is definitely is my daughter.
So Diane, bring us bang up to date. 11 people employed, the range of products. Tell me about what's going on out here in the bakery in Glenmaquin. Give us an idea of sort of the range of products, as I say, that you have, and where are you supplying to, and who's buying. And obviously there's a mixture online and personal customers and business customers.
Okay, there's always loads happening here. And I suppose at a point we were supplying a huge number of other coffee outlets and so on and so forth. That's something that I made a decision to scale back on. So there was natural fall off because people will chop and change and stuff. But as well as that too, I could see where, I suppose, again, it's like we talk about things need to marry together. So you can have an absolutely fantastic brand, Chris, and I have an absolutely fantastic brand. They may not necessarily marry together. So that does not mean, you know, that my brand's any better than yours or whatever, but again, it's about not forcing things. So at the moment we have our online business where we have all the treat boxes and stuff that we have local delivery with. We have the truck, we have the bespoke birthday cakes, we have stuff for actual parties. Then for individual parties, we supply the Nook coffee shop in Convoy. Absolutely lovely, lovely wee place. If you get a chance to visit there, do. We supply Blinkers coffee truck in Rafo. We supply Bra in Buncrana. And we also supply Scrumptious ice cream in Creasla. That's seasonal, but again, absolutely amazing products there. Lovely ice cream, just they couple so, so well with our brownies and so on and so forth. Then within the truck, like, there's 21 lines at any given time of all different delectable bakes and treats that's there. We do like overnight oats and stuff, which is huge for us. We do BAPs for grab and go lunches and things like that. And we're in talks at the moment. I never turn down an opportunity, or at least not hear someone out. And even though there's been times that there's been businesses that we've decided not to go with and so on and so forth, we're talking with someone of maybe doing a bit of a collaboration at the minute to give you more than that option of just grabbing a coffee and going. But watch this space, Chris.
And is there a seasonality to the business? Are some products more popular in the summer than the winter?
It is bananas all year round, Chris. You literally, like, we run in cycles. So obviously there's birthdays all the time. And we have a very loyal customer base. So that sort of, like, we are waiting, like, in certain months, we'll know, okay, we have such and such's child's birthday now. At the end of the month, we have this, that and the other and all. But once we get into, like, you would automatically think January is a time where it's a bit quieter, but there's still birthdays, you know. And I think people are very good at, they'll fuss over people in a January birthday because they know that obviously Christmas has just happened and so on and so forth. Then once we hit February, like, the confirmation season and the communion season has really, really spread out. Like, we're working on confirmations from February right up until May, where we have the early communions that start in April that's running right up into June. We have Mother's Day, we have Valentine's Day, we have Father's Day, we have Easter. And again, we're very reactive to everything that's happening to be the centre of the celebration on each family table. We have teacher appreciation. Obviously, as we run into summer, then it's heavy birthdays as well. The SNA Appreciation Day, we have Junior Cert results then, so we're always planning ahead. Then we have Halloween, then Toy Show, which has become absolutely massive, you know. And again, we have very loyal customers for that, no matter what we do, and we try and change it up every year. And some years we'll go back to something that we done at the beginning because people are asking, oh, we loved the year that you done X, Y and Z box. And then we're into Christmas, and then that is your desserts and everything, so it never stops.
Now occasionally you have to stop, so if you're getting away from it all and you're taking a few days off, how do you unwind from the day-to-day business?
Okay. If I'm not in the business, I am not in the county or in the country. Because if I am in the county or in the country, I am purple velvet, and purple velvet is me. I can't step away from it. And you know, even whenever I am away, like, I have great girls that can, obviously certain things like the cakes and things like that have to stop because that's solely me, but everything else, like, the girls are absolutely amazing, but they also know how invested I am in the business, and they will still let me know what I need to know. And again, with digitalization of everything, you're never away, but no, for me, yeah, play a bit of badminton, watch my daughter's sports. So it's sport or beach, really, is the two things that I'll do if I'm not in purple velvet.
So as you gaze into the crystal ball, 5 years' time, 10 years' time, you know, how big can the business grow? Is there a point that you think, you know, that's manageable, because with growth brings more challenges as well? So How high is the bar?
I'm trying to get through to the end of the week, maybe, Chris. No, not at all. For me, again, taking it back to where my love sits, my love of bacon sits at in the home. I have been, and I've parked it now, but one of the things that I was working on was like some bake at home products that's really convenient, that you're able to go there, that's cost effective, that's time effective, but still has that high standard of ingredient. And that's something, look, the sky's the limit with that. That's something that we can go internationally with. So I suppose, you know, for me, again, the measure of success would be that there is more people enjoying more Purple Velvet products, as far as we can push that and still keep the quality that people have come to know and love.
And if you had a message to somebody who maybe has done a bit of home baking, or it could be maybe some guy listening who's done a bit of mechanics out the back and thinking, you know, the road ahead, going out on your own, it's a big step, but what would your advice be to somebody who maybe has that little seed in the head for an idea?
If you have that seed in your head, go for it. Now, I'm not saying leave your full-time job tomorrow and leave yourself not able to pay your mortgage or anything else. And that's the thing. We all have responsibilities in life, and those responsibilities have to be met. But there's in everything in life, there is point A and point B. And if you're at point A at the minute and you want to get to point B, it doesn't need to be a straight road. Getting to point B is what's important, but absolutely go for it. Yes, you're going to have to work hard, and you're going to have to make sacrifices, and you're going to have to, I think, you know, one of the two words that's most important is work around. So there is always going to be obstacles. So how do I work around it? Don't focus on the obstacle. So whether that is that you need that full-time wage to support your home that you're doing at the minute, but you want to grow that other, you can do that. There's no hard and fast rule on it. Absolutely none. And again, if you, there's another saying that I absolutely love, and it's keep the vision, respect the process. So where your vision is, where you see that you want to be, and if that is, you know, working for yourself or whatever, keep that vision, but respect the process. It's never going to be a straightforward line. And sometimes how you think it's going to be, and I'm a prime example of that, just respect the process, and you will get there in the end. But reach out, ask them questions, and again, just treat people right, and it will work out in the end.
Well, that's it for this week. My thanks to Diane Nesbitt for joining me on the programme. I'm away to sample some Purple Velvet delights. I hope you have a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. You've been listening to Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Until the next time, goodbye.